Take 5. City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9. This is the home of great music and great conversation. It's just gone 2 o'clock on a weekday. It's Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's Tuesday. And that means it's going to be only time for one thing, and that is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor. As ever, it's the show that invites you to imagine that your house is on fire. And which 5 records would you save from the flames? That is the question we are putting to all the studio guests who join me on the show between 2 and 3. And today, that guest, I'm very pleased to say, is Rita Tushingham, the actress of this parish. Hi, Rita.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in. What are you doing in Liverpool?
This evening, at FACT, they're screening A Taste of Honey, and then I'm going to do a Q&A, question and answer afterwards, and it's at 7 o'clock this evening.
Excellent. I shall look forward to that. We'll talk about that some more, because I knew really I was just doing a pretend radio, hey, what are you doing in town sort of thing, because of course you are a native of this parish. Do you get back much?
I was here in July. I was very happy to receive an honorary fellowship from the John Moores University. So I was here in July, and I try to get back as much as I can.
Yeah, and you picked a great day as well, because we've just been looking at the big boat that's on the Mersey, the Queen Mary II, Queen Mary II, is that what you call
it?
I'm not quite sure how you sort of meant to say the numeral bit of that particular title, but yeah, she's looking fantastic on this slightly murky day over the Mersey. Don't forget, if you want to enjoy the view that myself and Rita Tushingham are enjoying, you can look at it via our website, citytalk.fm. We have a webcam trained on the Queen Mary from the top of this tower, so you can enjoy it too. Just go and have a look at it right now. It's on the homepage. That's enough of that, Rita. I have to get through 5 records that you're going to save, because you didn't know, did you, that your house was on fire?
No, I didn't. And so maybe it might have been something different, but that doesn't matter. I still like the records that I've chosen.
Fantastic choices. I mean, obviously, because you're theatrical and an actor, we know you're into drama and creativity. Have you always enjoyed music as well?
Oh, yes, of course. It's something that lifts your spirits, isn't it? Often you'll play something because it's a memory of something, or that you just want to sit and listen to something. It's a great mood enhancer.
Tell us about your early days, if you will, because am I right in thinking your family ran a grocery shop?
Yes, you're right. My dad had a shop in Garston and one in Hunts Cross. And I used to go and help him at weekends, because it's a 7-day-a-week job, and I would go and stack the shelves and do things like that and be very much part of it.
I was going to say, because you don't look sort of physically built to lug around sacks of potatoes. Did you do your fair share of potato lugging, or did they put you on light duties?
We didn't have potatoes. It was tinned goods and bacon and coffee and things like that. It wasn't a greengrocer's, it was a grocer, so no potatoes.
Did that make you relatively posh then? Because that sounds like a reasonable little business to be having.
Didn't make me feel, you don't think about that, do you? It was just a dad's shop, so posh or not, it didn't matter.
And you answered the phones while you were there, didn't you?
My dad had one of those fantastic phones that was on a stand, and you used to have to pick it up and put it to your ear, like you see in those 40s films, which was brilliant. But no, I didn't answer it, because I couldn't reach the counter. I'm still short, as you can see.
And that's why you couldn't lug around sacks of potatoes, if there had been any to...
Jumped in a sack, I did, but never lugged one.
Well, that's something you might be wanting to confess later. That sounds like it could be an interesting story, actually. Did you have a Scouse accent when you were growing up?
Probably similar to what I have now, really.
Well, I'd say no now then, because you're very RP now, aren't you? Received pronunciation.
Oh, am I?
Why? I think so,
I don't know. Don't worry. I think, really, I speak with the rhythm of a Liverpool accent, because we all speak with a certain rhythm. I think that's what I have, you know.
Yeah, no,
it flattens over the years, really.
No, it's certainly not a criticism. It's just that when you when I met you here up the tower, when you came out the lift, I was surprised, because it's very sort of it's the Queen's English you speak.
Oh, hello. When I said, oh, hello, how are you?
Did you have to? That was lovely. Did you have to do that? Did you have to flatten it a bit? In the 60s, when you sort of came to fruition as an actress, was there a pressure on you somewhat to sort of, you know, speak more like a thespian?
No, not at all, really, because the first film I did was Jo in A Taste of Honey, and she was from Salford, so it wasn't that. Not really. I think you just do, and when you move away and you go to London, it does that. And mixing with people, it just really flattens out, and you can't really distinguish, I don't think, where I'm from, really. But I'm proud to be from Liverpool.
Absolutely right. And you will be, the event you mentioned at the start of the show, this it's with Clapperboard UK, isn't it? Which Maureen Sinclair, the director of Clapperboard, was in last week. It's sort of a charity that involves kids who might be on the fringes of the community or sort of disadvantaged in some way, making films to build up their esteem. And as a way of kind of raising cash for Clapperboard and raising its profile as well, what they're doing is having a series of evening withs, if you like, and you're the second evening with, and they're going to play A Taste of Honey at Fact, and then you're going to do questions and answers afterwards. Starts at 7, and I think there are a couple of tickets still available, so get in touch with Fact, and I'm sure they'll be able to sort you out if you would like to go and ask Rita questions, just in case I miss any during my hour, even though I'm a very thorough and probing interviewer, as you will find out, Rita. And so my first thorough and probing question is, what's your first song?
My first song is Phil Collins, and it's Against All Odds.
Why have you chosen this one?
I just like it. I love its words and everything. And I grabbed it when I knew there was a fire, obviously, which I've just known now. I just went and grabbed that one.
It's the first one, isn't it? And I think this is one of the best songs for air drumming as well. We hear a lot about air guitaring, but you don't hear enough about air drumming nowadays. So if anyone wants to join Rita Tushingham and I in a little bit of air drumming, do it now, because we are going to play Phil Collins and Against All Odds on City Talk 105.9. And that was the first choice on today's Take 5 of Rita Tushingham, the Liverpool actress who is right here with me now in the studio, going through the 5 records she would save from her home if it was on fire, plus a few other bits and pieces as well. We're going to choose which photograph Rita would save from the flames, which book, which object, and possibly, very shortly, which film she might save as well. Although Rita, as is the right of an actress, and a very successful actress at that, is being diva-like and refusing to name a film. So I'm gonna see if I can pin her down to one very shortly. I just want to talk about A Taste of Honey before we move on, though, because that was... Well, let me put it this way, and I hope you'll take this in the spirit it's intended. I saw my mum and dad at the weekend, and when I often tell them, you know, who's coming up on Take 5 and who's been on Take 5, you know, musicians and footballers and various politicians, I'm often met with a blank face or a, oh, that's nice, dear. and when I told them that Rita Tushingham was coming on Take 5 on Tuesday, they both sat up and they looked bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they went, Rita Tushingham? And they were really, it was the most excited I've ever seen them about one of my guests on Take 5.
Oh, that's very sweet of them. Hello to them, then.
Hello, Kate and Rick Batchelor. But what they said was, you know, she's our generation, you know, she's one of us. And I think that comes back to that Taste of Honey thing, where previously stars of the silver screen had been, you know, impossibly glamorous and far-off exotic creatures. You were at the start of the kitchen sink, or the realist tradition, weren't you?
Well, exactly, and it sort of was quite a breakthrough, because before that, I mean, in the 50s, myself and other people that came through in the 60s would never have had a chance, so I was lucky to be around at that time. And also, there weren't the roles. They weren't writing character roles for young actors.
Mm. And did you sort of know that... When did you get the warning that wave of new cinema or new film was on its way? Because you'd worked in stage beforehand, so you must have sort of heard the jungle drums to some extent.
No, I didn't, because I was working backstage at Liverpool Rep as a student assistant stage manager, and I read in the newspaper they were looking for an unknown to play the role of Joe in A Taste of Honey. So I wrote to John Osborne and Tony Richardson being the director, and said, I'd like to come and see you. And they said, oh, we'll come up to London and do an audition. But really, that was just the start of it. And only, and I often say this, that you didn't realise it. It seemed like it was normal. That was what it was like. And only when it stopped in the 70s could you look back and think, my God, that was an extraordinary time.
It was, because I was just looking at your filmography, actually, and the 60s was an incredibly busy period for you. Mm-hmm. A Taste of Honey was 1962, I think, and that's you won the BAFTA for Most Promising Newcomer, Golden Globe for Most Promising Female Newcomer, Best Actress at the Cannes Festival. So it all kind of exploded with A Taste of Honey. Then The Leather Boys, 62, Girl with Green Eyes, 63, The Knack and How to Get It, 65, Dr. Zhivago, 65, The Trap, 66, Smashing Time, 67, The Bedsitting Room, 69. And then, to some extent, the film roles tailed off, didn't they?
Well, no, they didn't, because I wasn't living here as much. I was working. I did 6 films in Italy. Mm. I went all over the world to work. But, you know, there weren't as many films made when the 70s came, because there wasn't that much money available to make them.
Mm. But at the same time as well, the realist tradition, as you said, had sort of ended as well, hadn't it?
Well, yes, and also because people sort of jumped on the bandwagon. So you'd make one film about spies, so there'd be six made, and you'd make one about... There was too much product, I think.
And, of course, not all of those films I did mention there were the realist tradition. I think it'd be fairly outrageous to claim Dr. Zhivago is a kitchen sink drama.
I did wear Wellingtons and a boiler suit.
Yeah, that's because you were working on a dam building project, I think, weren't
that's
you?
That's correct, is that with right? My balalaika.
What was your character called in that? I can't pronounce the Russian names.
Tonya.
I can do that bit. What was the surname?
Komarovsky.
There we go. Thank you. That's what I was
that's
after.
That's correct.
And it's, I mean, you work with some huge names like Alec Guinness and...
and Tom Courtney.
Julie Christie.
Julie, yeah. Omar Sharif and...
What was that
Rod
like?
Steiger. Well, Sir Alec Guinness, but my scenes were just with Sir Alec and we got on brilliantly. He was fantastic to work with. And David Lean, the director. And so we just spent 3 weeks just working together, really.
Your profile, as I said, exploded after Taste of Honey when you won that fistful of awards. But would you say that Dr. Zhivago was the highest profile, sort of glamorous film that you did?
Well, it was one that had huge sort of American premiere that I was able to go to. Others had premieres, but not quite with that much money spent on them. Yes, it was. It was quite exciting. And, you walk along the red carpet and they were playing balalaikas and things like that. No, it was wonderful.
Did you get stopped in the street a lot of
and
the time?
And asked if I can play the balalaika.
Yeah, and autographs and photographs.
Oh, yeah, people, yes, it's... it's fun. The thing is, really, I just love acting and I'm glad I'm still doing it. That's the main thing. It's a job and... how lucky one is to do a job that you love.
Do you sort of often find yourself just stopping and thinking, my God, I do feel lucky. I'm glad I didn't sort of go down a more humdrum route.
Well, what's humdrum? To me, I wanted to act. And, of course, you always know it is luck. There's so much luck involved in this business, but you have to follow up with the goods. But, of course, I love it. I really, really love it. It's just... in my blood, really.
You say, what's humdrum? Whilst I don't want to denigrate any profession, but, secretarial work, a lot of people would say, is humdrum, and that's what you could have been, because while you were training to be an actor from a young age, your parents also insisted that you have a backup plan, which was secretarial qualifications.
Absolutely, shorthand and typing. And that was my dad. He said, you need something to fall back on, and that was very sensible. And I did that.
So where did you learn your shorthand and typing?
It was in Bowl Street, in a little place where I went, and they used to put a cover on the sort of, what do they call it, blind typing or something.
Yeah.
So you type, but I can use both hands, touch typing, but I can do that now with my computer and things like that, but I never sort of had to use it. Thank goodness I didn't have to do the shorthand because I wasn't very good at
it. I've got 100 words a minute shorthand. We could have had a little competition during the during the next song.
You've won.
Okay, I've won already. Yeah, I've won. Fantastic. Well, we will have your next song in a second. Are you going to choose a film, Rita? Are you going to insist on being curmudgeonly and refusing to play?
I'm going to choose all the CDs and videos that I have, because I'm going to whisk them out very quickly. But I do love Buster Keaton. Buster Keaton is one of my favourite actors, so it would probably be one of his, if I had to.
OK, well, I'm going to smile and nod and pretend that you're allowed to save your entire film collection, and then secretly I'm going to say, she's only getting Buster Keaton. She's only allowed one, just because she's Rita Tushingham. I can't bend the rules for her of Take Five. Well, that's where you can have your whole video and DVD collection.
Thank you.
But only Buster Keaton, really. You can also have your next song, which is... your next song is... It's a duo, Barbara and Elaine, Page and Diction. It is, of course, I Know Him So Well. Why have you gone for this one in particular, Rita?
It's just a beautiful song, and they sing it so beautifully. And it's just something that you can sit and listen to. It's fabulous.
Well, sit and listen to it now, because it is City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. This is the second choice of Rita Tushingham, my guest on today's Take Five. It's Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon, I Know Him So Well. And that's Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon, I Know Him So Well. They don't do them like that anymore, do they? Bit of a belting duet from those two ladies from the 80s there. Got three more songs coming up, all courtesy of my guest for today's Take Five, who is Rita Tushingham. To find out what they are, stick around. Back in a couple of minutes.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed. City Talk 105.9 is the station. It is the home of great music and great conversation, both of those elements this hour, at least until 3 o'clock, coming courtesy of Rita Tushingham, the Liverpool actress who burst onto the public consciousness with A Taste of Honey back in 1962, if you don't mind me reminding everyone of the year, Rita.
Not at all.
And has worked fairly tirelessly ever since, by the sounds of it, and you've actually got some projects ongoing at the moment.
Yeah, a film called Broken Lines is coming out next, I think March or April, with Paul Bettany. And also I'm working with a young writer on a short film that I would like to direct. It's about a soldier that's on leave from Afghanistan.
Oh, wow. Would that be your directorial debut, or have you done that before?
No, it would be my debut. It's a wonderful story. It's probably about a 10-minute, 12-minute film.
Would it be, without giving too much away, would that be an uplifting story or a rather downcast story?
It would be a story about what war is like to two generations, really.
It's an interesting. It's strange to think that we, Britain, have been at war since 2003 for Iraq, and a little bit earlier for Afghanistan. I mean, that's a long time to be at war. That's longer than the Second World War, and yet it seems only now, in the last year or so, that the inevitable dramatisation of those soldiers' experiences have started coming out to the fore.
Yeah, and war is of course it's hideous, and we all marched and said please don't go to war, and they took no notice, and look at us now.
Of course, in a way that those films, particularly A Taste of Honey and The Leather Boys and those reality or realist films, they were quite political in their own way, because they were the first films to be tackling issues like class and race and sexuality. Do you see yourself as a political animal, or do you just do the roles that you're given?
No, I think you have to be in tune with what's going on, and of course you have your views, but I'm an actor, so I leave it to the politicians, sadly, to bring their views out, and I sometimes think we're really so badly let down.
You wouldn't be tempted then to stand for Parliament? Sounds like you might do.
Not at all, but I'd love some. We need some new blood, and I don't know what happens. Everyone goes in with an energy and wanting to do the best they can, and somewhere along the line it seems to get lost.
The focus. It's almost like they get cynicised, if that's a verb. I'm not sure it is really, but along the way.
I think they're in a bubble, and you've got to keep on getting in touch with what is happening in the real world, in a sense. You have to know what's going on, or in a sense you have to listen.
Do you pick and choose roles, though? Would you sort of only go for roles that you think have got a meaning to them, a worthiness to them, or can you not, be that fussy?
No, I think if you think it's a good story, you do it, really. You can't be doing that. I mean, you just can't. It's just what you feel is right, and you like the script, you know.
As well as your acting work, of course, you've also raised a family. Your two daughters,
yes,
whose names are
Donna and Aisha.
Aisha, what do they do nowadays?
Donna works in commercial production. She lives in Los Angeles. And Aisha is a post-production supervisor. And in fact, she's here in Liverpool with me. She's going to see Taste of Honey tonight. She's not seen it on the big screen.
Yeah, and if you just joined us, don't forget that, don't forget, you won't know if you've just joined us, that Rita tonight will be doing a question and answer session following a screening of A Taste of Honey at FACT. That is part of Clapperboard UK, a fantastic charity based here in Liverpool, which helps disadvantaged youths to find a bit of self-confidence and a bit of a sense of purpose in life by getting involved in filmmaking. And they do these evening with presentations, if you like. So tonight, 7 o'clock at FACT, couple of tickets left, so be quick, get on the blower to FACT, and you can watch A Taste of Honey, that multi-award-winning film starring Rita Tushingham, and then you get to ask her impertinent questions afterwards. Do you take impertinent questions as well?
It just depends on how impertinent they are.
Excellent, that sounds like a challenge. So, and your daughter will be there. The latest additions to your family won't know, because they're only 5 months, aren't they?
Well, my nephew Ian and his lovely wife Jane, they have twins. They were born at the end of May, and I want to say their first radio hello to Olivia and Freya, and they're absolutely beautiful.
Hello, Olivia and Freya, and I tell you what, if they're anything like my four-month-old baby, they'll be sleeping through this entire show and not listening to it, but it's the thought that counts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're based in Walton, which is where,
yes,
your mum was from. We're talking off air, your mum and dad got married at St Peter's Church,
they
where,
did,
of course, that was the fete where John Lennon and Paul McCartney met, so quite a historic building.
It is, it's quite a church, and isn't it? That's where Eleanor Rigby's gravestone is, isn't it?
Were you a contemporary of the Beatles? Did you move in the same circles as them?
Yeah, we did, because working with Richard Lester, who directed the Beatles films and also is a very good friend of mine, so we all moved in the same circles because we all went to London around about the same time.
Did you know it was swinging at the time, or is that, looking back, do you then realise that was a swinging period, or did it all feel very new and exciting, and did you know you were part of a movement?
It was, on reflection, I thought it was always like that, and then when it stopped, I realised it wasn't. But it was electric, you know, it wasn't just in film, it was in theatre, it was in music, it was in art. It was all-encompassing, and people were very open to new ideas. And also there was the money available to do it. It really was, as they say, swinging. It was really happening.
Obviously, you spoke about your disappointment now with the way Britain is run from the top, but do you still feel that there is an artistic freedom in Britain? Do you still think Britain swings to some extent?
Yes, there is a freedom, but there's also, we are hampered by this political correctness. And of course, you have to be aware of things. But I think sometimes maybe things lose a little of their edge because of that.
That's strange, actually, because those films you're involved in, I mean, you know, The Leather Boys was about a gang of bikers, one of whom was gay.
Yeah.
A Taste of Honey, you know, your character ended up having a relationship with a black guy and who left her pregnant and teary-eyed,
yeah.
Which some people would see now as, well, that's box-ticking, isn't it? That's almost like a politically correct film.
But I don't know, that they weren't caricatures. They were real stories. And sometimes now I think you see things and there's a slight caricature there. And I just think there's a fear, or we can't upset people. And no one sets out to upset people. Of course you don't. But there are certain things I think that people maybe hold back a little.
I guess it comes back to what you said about a good story is a good story. And,
yeah.
And if a good story happens to involve black people and gay people and stuff, then that's a good reason to do it. If you're only including black people
but
and gay people
for PC reasons.
But it doesn't
matter who it includes. It's what the story is. And it's, you know, there are, in all walks of life, that's what you want. You want to have a story about real people.
Absolutely. Now, I must get us back on track. We mentioned your family earlier. You get to save one photograph from this metaphorical house fire we've put you in, Rita. And it is a family snap you've gone for. Which snap have you gone
It'll be a photograph of Donna and Aisha and me and the dogs. It was taken in Cornwall, on our terrace in Cornwall in Polperro.
Lovely. What dogs have you got?
Well, I haven't got them anymore, sadly. They were bulldogs. I love bulldogs. Beautiful. It was a Trog and Britannia.
Trog and Britannia. You don't think they're a bit sort of snuffly and dribbly? And
the snufflier, the better.
That's a metaphor for life, if ever there was one. That is the photograph you're going to save, you and your two daughters, and what, Trog and Sophia, did you say that?
No, Trog and Britannia.
Britannia, I don't know where Sophia came from.
perhaps deep, I should get one and call it Sophia.
Deep within my subconscious, perhaps. Your third song is a Morrissey track, which,
yes.
Of course, you have a sort of a link to the Smiths and Morrissey, don't you, that you're included on one of their videos.
That's right, yes. And I met him... last year, I happened to, of all places, Fortnum and Mason's. I was going for tea with someone and he was there and we'd never met before. He's such a lovely man. He's got the most beautiful, beautiful eyes.
So you've never met before? I assume that they must have, you know, there must be a friendship or a link or something like that. What was there? Do you know what the obsession with you was?
I don't think there was an obsession. I think, I don't know, and I wouldn't even ask, but it was just lovely to meet him.
Was he having a vegetarian tea, presumably?
He was sitting with someone. I think he was doing press for something, and I was just past, and we met, and it was really lovely.
Well, Every Day Is Like Sunday is the Morrissey track you've chosen. Any particular reason you like this one?
Well, because every day should be like Sunday.
Oh, do you think so?
Well,
I'm not sure Sunday's very nice, is it?
Well, I think Sunday's very nice because most people have time off work and they can relax and maybe they can connect again with their families. That's what it should be. I'm saying every day is like Sunday, how we feel Sunday should be.
Yeah, Sunday should be, because Sundays, certainly growing up, we're all about, you know, getting your homework done, nothing good on telly, raining outside.
Do you still do homework?
Sometimes, yeah. It's called DIY now. I have a different type of homework to do. But it's like Every Day Is Like Sunday Should Be by Morrissey. We've just retitled the track for him. It is the third choice of Rita Tushingham on today's Take 5. And you can hear it now, City Talk 105.9. As Every Day Is Like Sunday by Morrissey on City Talk 105.9 on Take 5, with me, Will Batchelor, and my guest, Rita Tushingham, who just a few minutes ago saved a picture, by the way. And I've got a picture. It's nowhere near as good, I'm sure, as the one you save, Rita. I've put it on Twitter because I'm tweeting now. I've finally got into the 21st century. And have got onto this twitter.com that everyone is talking about. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, or more accurately, follow this show on Twitter, it's City Talk Take 5 is the name. City Talk Take 5 with the number 5 rather than F-I-V-E. And you can follow me. And what I do is I give sneak previews for who the guest is going to be. I sometimes pass comment on their songs during them. Haven't done it yet, but I might do it to Rita very shortly. And also, I've got a picture up as well. So if you want to see me chatting to Rita through the glass, that is on Twitter now. Find me, make friends with me, twitter.com, and the username is CityTalk. Take 5. Onwards, Rita. You get to save a book from the fire as well. Got two more records to come. The book you have gone for, again, you're being you're taking this very literally, aren't you, this burning home? What have you gone for?
I'm going for the telephone book.
Okay. Is that to waft at the flames and put them out? Or?
No, it's just so that I can sort of got all the numbers in there, because obviously I've lost the mobile and everything like that. So it's just to call people and just sort of say, look, can you put me up for the night, please?
Of all the great plays and novels you could have had, you're going for the phone book.
Yeah, because I'm not going to choose one. You're trying to make me, but I'm not going to, because there are so many wonderful books and plays and things that I thought if I did that, then I can ring up W.H. Smith and get them to send them all round, you see.
You're a tough nut to crack, Rita Tushingham. They can send them to your tent in the front lawn where you're living because your house is on fire. You can save the phone book. That's fine. There's no rules against that. And you got two more songs that you're going to save as well. A belter from Ella Fitzgerald coming up, and also one from Led Zeppelin as well, which I'm really looking forward to playing too. Still to come on City Talk 105.9. Don't go anywhere.
This is Take 5 with Will Batchelor.
Yes, indeed. Take 5 on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. Got about 10 minutes left. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? And I have been for this hour because I've been speaking to Rita Tushingham, who is talking us through the 5 records she would save from her burning home. Don't forget, though, after 3 o'clock, the fun does not end. Peter Mac is driving you home. And, of course, slightly shorter show than usual from Peter, because we'll be going to some extra coverage before the big match tonight of Liverpool versus Lyon. And I know you're looking forward to that as well, Rita.
I am indeed.
You can't watch because you're doing your evening.
No, I can't watch, but I wish them all the luck. I'm a true Liverpool supporter.
So. Did you go to the match when you were a kid, or was that...?
I used to go... Well, my dad was an Everton supporter, but he used to go to Everton and then Liverpool, and I would often go with him, yeah.
Yeah, there was that sort of golden period, really, when that kind of behaviour was more acceptable, wasn't it, and easier to do. You know, you might follow one of them, but you'd go to both the matches.
Well, because you love football.
Yeah.
And that's why.
So. And you wanted to be a footballer, didn't you?
Well, I did. I think it was the drama of running out onto the pitch and the crowd cheering. That was it. I mean, anything else, forget it. But that sort of run out and the acceptance of the crowd.
And, of course, you get that anyway by going onto the stage.
Not really. Could you imagine if you got that? But no. But that was it. And I love to watch football. And the night games I love, because that wonderful atmosphere. And the green pitch and everything, the lights.
The green of the pitch is amazing, isn't it? I think that's the one thing I remember going to my first football match, and I just couldn't believe how big and how green and flat the pitch was when you first see it. It's like nothing you've ever seen before as a child.
It's quite sort of breathtaking, isn't it? Yeah. You see it, and it's sort of, you're bowled over by it almost.
Do you watch Liverpool games when you can on TV? And
yes, I do, but sometimes I'm so nervous about muted or have to do all sorts of things. It makes me nervous. My pulse is going crazy. But I just hope we have a good game tonight.
Do you own a Liverpool beach ball at all?
No, and I think you think that's very funny because you don't support Liverpool. But never mind. He who laughs, laughs.
We shall move on from that one, shall we? On to your fourth song you're going to rescue, which is by Ella Fitzgerald. Which one have you gone for, Risa?
I've got Every Time We Say Goodbye.
Is this any story behind this, or do you just like the tune?
Well, I think she's an amazing singer. And also, I was lucky enough to meet her and do a programme with her in London. And I was so impressed with her. And, of course, her voice is extraordinary.
It's an amazing voice. We're going to hear it now on City Talk 105.9. It is Ella Fitzgerald, Every Time We Say Goodbye. City Talk 105.9, that's Every Time We Say Goodbye by Ella Fitzgerald, with a little bit at the end there as well. Not quite sure what was going on there. It was the fourth choice of my guest on today's Take 5, who is Rita Tushingham, or has been Rita Tushingham, because we're nearly at the end of the show. But don't worry, Rita, you do continue to be Rita Tushingham when you leave the studio.
You.
It's not some sort of weird Terry Gilliam-style reality loop we're living in. Just enough time to say, a couple of things, really. Remind people that you are on tonight at Fact as part of Clapperboard UK, doing your evening with, if anyone wants to watch A Taste of Honey, this film that catapulted Rita into stardom, then that is showing at 7 o'clock, and Rita will be doing a question and answer session afterwards. Also, I wanted to mention the badge that you are wearing on your lapel there, because your family has been touched by breast cancer. Your daughter Aisha is thankfully, touch wood, in remission and feeling much better, which is great news. And it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I think,
isn't it?
Indeed.
So, and it's really important for everyone to be aware, all ages. You know, just don't think it only hits you when you're older. It touches you all ages.
Absolutely right. So a fine charity to be supporting, and for all the right reasons as well. And finally, you have to save an object from this metaphorical house fire we've put you in, which again is a family theme. You've gone for your mum's ring.
Yes, my mum's engagement ring, I would say. That means so much to me.
Yeah, but going back to that, of course, that lovely wedding day at St Peter's Church.
Exactly.
In Walton. And finally... God, we're rattling through the items here, aren't we? Because we have to, because we're running out of time. Your final song is 8.5 minutes long in its original form, so I've cut it down for radio, I'm afraid. I hope that's not sacrilegious.
No, not at all.
But it's,
let's say it burned. I didn't quite get it out.
Yeah, exactly. It's half burned. So we got the first 3.5 minutes before the vinyl's melted. It's Led Zepp, Kashmir. Why this one?
I just love it. It's just got that wonderful sort of Middle Eastern theme to it.
Yeah, it's a hook that has been used on many a sports package and a TV show. It's just brilliant. It's instantly recognisable as well. If you don't know the name of the song, which is Kashmir, you will recognise the hook, because I'm going to play it now on City Talk 105.9. Before I do that, I will say, Rita Tushingham, thank you for being my guest on Take 5 today.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Take 5 with Will Batchelor. City Talk 105.9.